Saffron Planet, making sense of it all.
Oh, welcome back to Saffron Planet. We have the usual gang, and we have Simon Elman as a first timer. So welcome to Simon.
Thank you.
Right. I suppose many of you may know I've written a couple of books.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do believe you had read the last one.
Well, as I said last time we met, that you know, once I put it down, I found it very difficult to pick up again.
Sorry, it's in the afternoon. He's eaten and he's confused.
It's very good. That's extremely good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, coming from you, that's pretty good then, isn't it? So the name of the book is How the Church Lost the Truth. Now, it's the second in this trilogy, and trying to put a serious face on, it's part of the idea of looking at how ex-pagan ideas have got into the church through history, and how what we have now in our Christian doctrines and our Christian practice is not quite what we had 2,000 years ago because of all the new stuff that's come in. I'm currently researching the third book, How the Church Lost the Life. In fact, no, it's going to be called The Life, How the Church Can Rediscover It. It's going to be a positive title. The first two books had negative titles, and I think that might have contributed to the sales not being as high.
or it's, not the right people wanting to read it.
Yeah, I put one too many provocative statements on the back, like, if Jesus were to come back now, which church would he go to, if any? So I thought maybe that was a step too far in terms of...
But well, you shifted quite a few, though, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
I think the key is that you want it to get to people that needs to read it rather than just those that would like to
read it. Well, this is it. The only people inviting me to speak are those who want to hear me.
Who agree.
Yeah. I have applied for a couple of the bigger conferences, and one of them actually said, we only invite people whose theology we agree with. So, and that is one to get to the young people. I won't mention their name because it's ongoing, but, you know, at the moment we're preaching to the converted. And your problem as well, Chris, the churches that are inviting you, I imagine, are those who have heard you umpteen times.
If they don't like my ministry, they don't invite me. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah. But again, it's the same thing. They need to hear you.
Of course they do. But yeah. I mean, that's the only way I think a book can succeed with people that are not in our orbit, as it were, is to give it some outlandish title. You know, I mean, instead of How the Church Lost the Way, you could have said something like, Salome's Dance of the Seven Veils.
Yes.
then some interesting people might have bought the book, you know. Right, but you didn't, and so therefore sales are not that great.
There's always a possibility for a third book.
Well, that's true.
It's sort of, the title sort of follows on from
precisely.
The last two, isn't it?
Precisely.
Natural sort of progression. But anyway, the point about this new book is the first two books actually proposed all the problems, and which is always a problem when I've gone out speaking, because it's all negative stuff. It's hard to find anything positive to end your talk on. But this one, I'm hoping, is going to supply some of the answers. And for that reason, I have a group of, you know, eminent theologians here to help provide some of these answers. And all this is how do we live our life Hebraically? By that, I mean, how do we live our life biblically? How it was meant to be at the beginning, before this Greek thinking got into the church. And what I've tried to do is divide that up into 10 areas, and I thought if we can start talking about one of the areas, which is probably the most important area, which is the area of God himself.
Feel someone's listening. When we talk about Greek thinking getting into the church, we don't mean getting into scripture in any kind. We're not saying that there's issues with scripture that we need to deal with. It's how the modern church has taken alongside scripture, which is true and which is inerrant and which is trustworthy, has taken other ideas, and it's those ideas we're dealing with. Nothing.
It's not just about Greek language.
Because some people point at that and think, what are you trying to say?
Yeah, because the New Testament's written in Greek anyway.
We're not saying that the scriptures have been are damaged. It's quite the opposite.
It's interpretation.
Scripture is what's necessary. Yeah. Some of the interpretive methods used through church history.
It's two things. It's interpretations and tradition have got in the way, and we need to sort of try to get back to the biblical way.
To what scripture says.
Yeah.
Can I just say that after having been out on the road and visited different groups of people, that the feedback hasn't been that this is all very negative, but people have actually said that it's answered a lot of questions that they've had, and things that they've felt didn't quite fit, and it's actually opened their eyes to a lot of things. So it hasn't been negative. It's actually answered a lot of questions that people had. It's been very positive for them and made them more aware.
But then people say, yeah, but what can we do? That's the thing. How do you answer that? And that's what this is all about.
That's what has to be sort of dealt with and tackled. But it has been a positive thing to do because, as you said, knowing the history and the background and, you know, what's happened in the last 2,000 years has been very important for people to realise they can't just accept, as you know, walk into a church, what you have is what was meant to be there, that there has been a
for me, good positive journey. Aspect of it comes in consequence of reading the book, because the book does have a second title, How the Church Lost the Truth and How It Can Recover It Again. And although you may feel that you haven't done justice to the second, I would suggest to you that what the book does is to expose us, not just other people's churches and other people, but it exposes us to confront what we have allowed to happen in regard to the undermining of Scripture and the replacing of Scripture with apostate ideas. And so it should drive us to repent, which means coming to our senses and coming back to the Lord. And if we come back to the Lord and to His Word, nothing could be more positive than that. So I think that the books are entirely positive, but not perhaps in the immediate sense, but in their impact, incredibly positive.
Where shall I send the money?
Well, to the usual place, CL Ministries, 28 Thorny Road.
Who do Bible tours 3 times a year.
Steve, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Any other adverts needed, we'll slip them in. this is one big advert anyway.
I was really serious about that.
Maybe preaching to the converted on one level, but you're giving them information that they couldn't quite describe themselves before, that they can then spread and to other people. So you're equipping people.
That's true. That's good. Anyway, the life, it's God himself we need to sort of address. My contention is...
Saffron, saffron,